This week's episode has no paid subscriber, so make yourself the one. Go to thedadpodcast.com and become a paid subscriber for just $24 a year and change my life. Thanks and enjoy the show. Hey guys, before I get into the episode, I talked about something that Natalie did for me, but hilariously enough, I did not get a chance to actually get it out. We ran out of time with the Naptime Radio ladies. So I thought I'd be funny if I told you what I was going to say beforehand so you guys could humorously listen to us trying to get back to it and then getting sidetracked. It's a great episode, by the way. I had a great time doing this, as always, with the Naptime Radio ladies. But what my wife did for me was awesome. I'm a huge Adam Carolla fan, and anybody else who is knows that he just released a new book called President Me. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I love the show. And she's by herself with the kids because I'm in Toledo doing stand-up at the Funny Bone this weekend. And she heard on the radio yesterday morning that he was going to have a book signing in a mall, essentially, somewhere in L.A. Now, it's not in our hometown. It's actually a 20-minute kind of drive across town. So what my lovely wife did for me was she picked up the kids from school, grabbed some McDonald's for them, and fed it to them on the way there, went and got in line. I don't know how long the line was. And had my book signed by Adam Carolla. The kids got to meet him. I was very proud because she told me the story that they knew exactly who it was because I watched his show Catch a Contractor and all that stuff. And she said, my husband's a comedian. He's a big fan. He quotes you all the time in the house. And he couldn't be here because he's in Toledo at the Funny Bone. And so Adam said that, oh, well, how's his comedy going? She's like, oh, really well. And he's like, oh, that's good to hear. She was kind of getting rushed along, and so they took a quick picture, and then she gave him my business card and said, you know, here, you should check him out. You know, it couldn't hurt to at least try, right? And he goes, nope, not at all. And he put my card in his pocket. And I don't know if anybody else listening there, you're probably going to listen to this, hear me say this and go, no, you never know. But in all honesty, I'm a big enough fan to know that he will never look at anything that I ever do. But that's not my honest reaction. My honest reaction is just the kindness that my wife showed for me, and that what she was willing to do something nice for me is just unbelievably awesome and very touching to me. And I'm not saying this to try and say, hey, look at how great things are for me or anything like that. I honestly am saying it because I feel like my wife catches a lot of flack on this show because I am honest about my feelings and my thoughts. And so how fair could I be? I wouldn't be a journalist, a broadcaster, if I was biased, you see. So I want to celebrate these nice moments that she does because she does deserve it. My wife is awesome. I'm a very lucky man, and I appreciate her immensely. And it was a very, very cool thing. And I have this great picture. It's on my Facebook page, and I'll put it up on the Dad Podcast page too. And thank you. I know my wife doesn't listen, but I want to say thank you to her. Because you guys hear all the horrible things I say about her on a regular basis. So I love you, my dear, and I appreciate you. All right. Enjoy the show. It's fun. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast episode number 93. I am here at last back again with the wonderful ladies of Naptime Radio or Radio, as they
radio.
Will say. Radio.
We are ready.
In the Australian.
We're radio for your radio show.
Radio. With Heather and Kate live via Skype. I am in Toledo, Ohio. Everything is all fucked up. And
I forgot we can swear on your show.
That's the only reason I dropped that F-bomb right out of the box is because this is like Vegas of podcasting for these fantastic women here. They come in, they do a nice show that's very helpful and informative and family friendly, and then they come here to the seedy side of podcasting and they just get
down and dirty. We may have married someone by the end of the show. Who the hell knows what's gonna happen?
Let's get crazy, ladies. Let's just have some kind of weird, creepy three-way via Skype.
Awesome. You've been waiting for a threesome with us for quite some time.
Oh, my gosh. But your mouth to God's ears, I swear.
I don't know if God would go with that. Maybe Satan.
I don't know. I don't know if God wants to
coordinate through the Satan channel on this one.
I'm just going to put it out there. You know what I'm saying? Now that Heather's single, all we got to do is get whatever Bubba, what's his bucket? I forgot my name for Kate's husband already.
Kenny. I can't remember either. What was Kenny?
Oh, my gosh. That's where it came from. You called Dave Bubba Dave. I have a story for you, if I may interject on your show.
Of course. Please do.
My daughter, Carly, now uses my old iPhone as an iPod. Uh-huh. And evidently, some of the Naptime Radio episodes have downloaded to that phone. And she comes up to me the other day. She goes, Mom, who's Bubba Dave? And I'm like, sounds like a name I called Dad at some point, but I could not remember how it ever happened. I'm like, where did you get that? She's like, well, I listened to an episode. I'm like, oh, first of all, don't ever do that again. And now
I listened to an episode. You were not sure if you love me.
Oh gosh, she's totally damaged. No wonder she's being so nice to me. She's scared to death.
That's great. Well, for those that are new to my show, before when I did the show with Mr. Bill Glass, we connected. Heather reached out to me via the internet. That's how people connect nowadays, I understand. And said, you know, hey, we do a podcast, you know, and la-di-da-di-da. And then a friendship blossomed. And we started talking about you guys on our show. But I thought both of you were in Raleigh at the time. And so we joked that you had a couple of redneck husbands that were going to be angry with me flirting because that's my thing. I like to go, I wonder what they're doing right now with their sexy voices and yada, yada, yada. So we called. I can't remember what Kenny's name was. I thought I had like a junior or something weird because for Kenny. But I do remember Bubba Dave.
Yes.
Dave was the good one.
We thought they were going to show up with like camo Tar Heel hats and go, hey, you listen here, little man, and beat us two actor types up. And that is
impressed with your memory, Justin.
Listen, it's not just I don't acclaim my memory. I am that much of a fan of you guys. I think about this quite often, especially when I listen to your show, is that I go, it's so crazy that this kind of happened just as an email, and I feel like a total Creeposaurus Rex, you know, because especially if I go through like a marathon listening, I will constantly, now that I have Kate's cell phone number, she will also be included in text messages, but I will have like my own private chat. Like I feel like I'm a super premium elite member, you see,
where
I have you guys on the bat
phone. People might not know that Heather and I have actually been to not your new house, but your old house. Like we've met your wife. Yeah. We've sat in your living room.
That's yes. Funny. And I was so glad because coincidentally enough, recently I got an email from a listener who also listens to your show. We have a lot of crossover listeners. And she said, I think her name is Olivia, I want to say off the top of my head. I'm looking at the email. I may be wrong. But yes, it is Olivia.
I like how your voice gets high when you need extra time. That's an interesting thing to know.
It soothes the listener, Kate. It's a little podcasting tip. You're welcome. But Olivia sent me a message and she said, I love it anytime you guys do anything together. And I was like, yay, because I didn't say this to her, but I'm like, because I didn't know if it was going to work out, to be honest. But I said, we're going to be doing an episode because I'm doing all moms. And so I'm going to have Naptime Ready.
Justin.
What? Tell me, Kate. Talk to me. Let me know.
I love it. I love it. I love your enthusiasm.
Do you really love it, or does it creep you out? Or
no, it does not creep me out at all. I truly love it. I mean, yes, you are creepy, but that's secondary to me loving you.
Oh, by the way, I listened to your episode with Heather Jones, and shout out to Heather Jones if she listens to your show. I love her.
Yeah.
She's a riot.
Isn't she great?
Her whole bribery of her kids thing was killing
me. Isn't that awesome? Wasn't that great? She is.
And I like how you discussed the bra thing with her as well.
I did. It comes up quite a few times. It actually organically came up in one of my other podcasts recently, too. It's become, and then now I've turned it into about 5 minutes of stand-up. So thank you guys for that.
I think it's Natalie you have to thank for that.
Speaking of thanking Natalie, I have to talk about her for half a minute because she catches a lot of flack, not only in my stand-up, in my personal life, in my show. She also has to live with me. I should probably just stop there if I rattle off too many reasons.
She has burdens to bear. We know.
She does. As you guys saw, when you came to my house like 4 years ago or whenever that was, like she took care of both kids while we were just doing a podcast and was so nice and helpful. Anyway, she is by herself this week while I'm in Toledo. She is having a hellacious time at her job. She's going in at 7 in the morning, not getting home until 6:30. And she's one of these like crummy moms who gets all self-conscious because she feels like if she only gets to spend 2 hours with the kids before they go to bed when she gets off work on time. So if she has to work late, she's like, oh, I'm being a horrible mother. I'm like, shut up. You're fine.
That's what we do. That's called being a good mother.
I know. But
she cares.
She needs to knock it off because I'm tired of her raising the fucking bar. You understand? I want
Like, look, you're bringing home the money, bitch, yeah. All right? Stop trying to be everything. That's my job. I'm the good parent, okay?
Oh, look at me. I'm a breadwinner. Oh, I like to play with my kids before they go to bed. Shut up. Shut the fuck up, all right?
You come home and pat them on the head and be a jerk. Yeah. That's your job. That's what the breadwinner does.
You try picking them up from school. Pick them up from school. See how much you want to see them.
Get them dressed in the morning.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Try making them a breakfast a time or two. You try
get a carpool. You don't even know the carpool line lane.
Oh
routes,
yeah,
okay?
you would pick the wrong lane in a heartbeat. Be stuck in there behind some chick who's constantly updating her Facebook about how bad her day is. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know real stress.
And let's be honest, this is what Justin says to her when she's 5 minutes late to dinner.
Yes.
We all know how upset Justin gets when Natalie's late
for
dinner.
You don't want to mess with his meatloaf. Mm-mm. And I'm really
That thing dries out, she's going down.
Yeah, he's angry.
You know what's funny is I'm glad we're doing all this because all of this is true. And it even makes what I'm about to tell you even worse. Much like I also on that episode, was it with Heather? No, I think it was another episode where I played the video of when Natalie was telling me that she was pregnant with Jacob, our first son. And it was actually, we were filming like a kind of a bonus feature on my first DVD because so much of my act, because I didn't have kids to bag on at the time, so I only had the wife. So it was all about her. And I would have these people come up to me after the show and say things like, does your wife know the horrible things you say about her? I go, yeah, she's cool with it. And so I put a bonus feature on my DVD that was a chance for her to fire back. And I remember while she was making it, thinking it was extra funny because she didn't argue with any of it. But I recently, after watching that video, I realized it's because when we that morning that we shot that video in the hotel room at the club I was playing at, she had just found out she was pregnant with our first child. And so, of course, she's all like, oh, he's great. And like, she's drunk on, like, I'm guessing, nerves. That's a good question. Let's talk about that for a half a second.
Okay.
What is it like for a woman when she finds out she is pregnant? Because as a man, I experienced like equal parts excitement followed by immediate petrifying fear and then another huge wave of depression. That's exactly.
Wow. Don't sugarcoat it for us, Justin.
That's not sugarcoating? Is that not romantic? Did I ruin something?
The huge wave of when you went depression, I was a little surprised.
Well, yeah, me too. That one kind of hurt, but okay.
Well, let me tell you, I think I can speak for Kate and I both when I say that when you go through fertility and drop a shit ton of money trying to get pregnant and they call you and tell you you're pregnant.
Oh. Yeah, that's a little different.
But I have had an occasion where I woke up panic-stricken and peed on a stick and it came out positive and I started to cry.
Yeah. Now,
so
but that's not
that's
number
not
one.
That's not a good reaction.
Wait, was this
her.
With Lacey?
No, that was the miscarriage. It turns out God and I were right on the same page.
Wow.
So, you know. Hey, look, neither of us were prepared. This was after Hope, before Lacey.
Mm. I see.
So, yeah, it was cool. It was all fine. But I think it just depends on what number kid and whether you wanted / planned for that lovely child that you now adore.
I look forward to the psychological damage that will happen to poor Jack, because if you compare the two videos, it is night and day. Like, it is this.
Aren't both your sons named Jack?
Yes, in a sense they are. What it is Jack is an abbreviation of Jacob, is what I did. That's how little I feel for that second child. That's why I didn't even. I'm like, I'm not even going to add two more letters. I'm just going to go one different letter at the end of the name. He'll be fine, I'm sure. What's it? Yeah, and Jacob even has the same middle name as me. And Jack, not even close. Thomas, nothing, no connection. Ironically, he looks just like me. So that's what he got. He got my genetics. He's welcome.
Oh, that lucky bastard.
Oh, lucky yes. boy.
Oh, buckle up, ladies. In about 10 years, it's all going to be get crazy for you.
It is on.
It is on like Donkey Kong. Woohoo! But no, but the video with Jacob is like, are you serious? You're pregnant? I'm like crying and I'm all excited and again, scared and depressed. And you also have to add, in my defense, at that point, the only money I was making was from telling jokes, and I had only been telling jokes for 2 years, and we decided to start a family. Natalie had a very nice job, but in my head, I'm like, what if she can't work? And then I'm like, I can't sustain a family telling jokes. And then you start, like, your mind starts racing, going, I have no other skill set. If people don't want to hear me talk, then I am screwed. I don't know anything else about anything. And all my,
you're like, if I'm not as funny as I think I am, I'm going nowhere.
No, it's even worse than that, Kate. Heather might be able to attest to this more than you. She's had like one-on-one conversations. I am shocked at any kind of paycheck or money that I have made telling jokes or anything. Anytime somebody wants to hear me do anything, for a guy who talks as much as I do, it is shocking how insecure I am about it, to be honest with you. So you,
Justin, that just makes three of us. Kidding.
We're insecure.
I hope one of those is at least the voice in my head. That's all I want.
Insecure. I mean, whatever's the nice one. That's the one I mean.
That's the one you meant. No, you bitch. I don't even know. I don't even know on Skype how to drop one of you. So if I could just figure that out, then we could make this happen. So you add on top of all that, that's what I was really depressed about, is that it's like, for a guy, I think it's just like, it's a jump ahead. I don't know what it was like for your men, but for me, it was like, oh, I'm not fucking around anymore. Like, life just fucking hit me. Like, and it's time to go, and you can't be trying to figure out who you are or what you want to be or what you want to do. It has been decided, and now there's this gigantic, like, much like, have you seen the movie Pacific Rim, ladies?
No.
Okay, perfect.
good segue, though.
Buckle up for this analogy. They have a countdown that's a gigantic countdown for each of the Kojis that when they're going to come out. These monsters from the ocean, and then they have these guys who have to sink their brains to drive gigantic robots to save the world that are coming from another dimension that conveniently comes from the bottom of the Pacific Ocean.
So, it's become all very clear why I've never seen this movie.
Yeah, it's not really a chick flick. But anyway.
Gentlemen, that's not a date night movie. Just give an FYI.
Yeah, it is if you're married. you're welcome, lady. No, so they have this gigantic countdown timer. And so that's what happened. The minute I saw that stick with the plus sign on it, all of a sudden I had a 9 month or less countdown because I wasn't sure. Like, I'd heard stories that it could go 10 months and I wasn't, I swear, in the moment I'm sitting there going, wait, is 10 months, is that an elephant? Or is it 9 months, but you don't count the first month? Or it's like, is there a 0 month? Are we in the 0 month?
I feel like there's some sort of reference to the size of your private parts in there.
Well, if you hear my wife from her side of the story, then yes, that's how she tells it.
The way I get her pregnant, it takes 10 months to get the baby out. I don't know.
I think the word you're looking for, Justin, is you felt trapped.
Yeah, well, here's what it's funny that I'm more comfortable with depressed than trapped, is that...
Because there's pills for depression, but you can't do a damn thing while being trapped.
You're absolutely correct, Heather.
You're trapped forever.
There is a light at the end of a tunnel when you are depressed. You see, you can have some form of enlightenment or awakening and come out of it and go, oh, I was just sad or scared for a moment. Or when you're trapped, you're just sitting there in the snow waiting for either the trapper to come and beat you over the head with a stick, or you die of starvation or dehydration. And that's not how I felt about my children.
That's pretty much Kenny's life.
Oh, no, it is. Okay. Well, I only have two. So in my defense, I don't want to throw him under the bus in any way, shape, or form. But so for you guys, though, like you were saying, Heather, you had done the in vitro fertilization stuff, right?
Yes.
So for you, it was like, we won the lottery, mission accomplished, put it on the aircraft carrier.
Exactly. And I thought there was I was pretty sure it was twins based on the way they do it when you do in vitro, is they give you your number. And if it's above 5, I think you're pregnant. My number was 836.
Yeah.
Wait, above single digit 5 is you're pregnant, yes. And yours was 836?
Yes. So I was like, wow, I'm super pregnant. I am the rock star of pregnancy. Where's my cape? Is that in the mail? Do I get a badge? Is there a trophy? What's the deal? But anyway.
Well, I was very relieved. Kenny and I did IVF too, with the first few. And when we got the positive pregnancy test with Aiden and Brenna, we felt, of course, like we won the lottery. But at the same time, it turns out that Kenny was brutally unhappy in his job. So I'm sure that he had the depression feeling a little bit as well once he got beyond the happy. And when Aiden and Brenna were, 6 weeks old, Kenny, in fact, quit his job. Nice. And I was a little like, you just did what? Huh?
Oh, he came home and just said, I quit.
Well, we had a couple of discussions, but it turned out those discussions really didn't involve me. I was just part of the discussion.
So he
was more making you aware. He wasn't. Yeah. You weren't helping him come to a decision. The decision had been made.
Yes. What I thought was decision making was, in fact, him informing me. Right. So, yes, that's true. So that was, that was gutsy. That changed it up a little bit. But that's all right. They're 11 now. We're all cool.
I think guys have to feel a little more stressed, though, because there is this. Whether you end up being the stay-at-home dad or not, there's this societal pressure of like, you have to take care of these people now.
Yes.
I mean, my dad told me that when he found out that I was having babies, he was so excited. And he's like, you know why? He's like, because they're not my problem.
Right. No, my father said the same
thing.
Very
eloquent.
Yeah.
I asked him, I said, why is it? Because I looked at him, I'd seen him as a father. And then when my nephew was born, he's the first grandchild who's now 20. My father was a different person with him, and yet I was a teenager, so I was still young enough to be being parented, and yet I saw him with this baby being a total goofball and just doing whatever this baby wanted, and there was an ounce of, jealousy, but I was old enough to be like, who the fuck is this guy? Right. And my dad, I go, why are you so different with him? And he goes, because he's not my problem. I don't have, he's all the fun without any responsibility. That's exactly what being a grandparent is. And I was like, this
grandparenting looks awesome.
Doesn't
That's
it?
Like an A number one reason to have kids.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait because I can't wait just to make my son so angry at the life that they think that they should have had when they were young.
Leave it to you to get some sort of warped thought into something so beautiful, Justin.
That's how I roll.
Well, my dad was young. He was 23. And I just feel like. Now, he's older, he's got all his money and his life and is retired and there's no worries anymore. Yeah. Like what? You're going to have a baby. That's your problem. my life is secure. You need me to throw you a hundy? Here you go. Have a good day.
You want to drop them off and I'll load them up with chocolate? Yeah, I could do that. Let's do it.
Exactly. Oh, they need a ride to school? Why not? I'm not doing anything. I'm retired.
Hey, Justin, I need a reminder of how old your kids are. I forgot.
5 and 2. Jack will be 3 next month on June 18th.
Is he in school yet?
They're both in preschool. Jacob starts kindergarten in August. We held
did
them
you
back.
Go to registration for kindergarten?
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my gosh.
Did you already talk about that on your show?
Sort of. I didn't really dig too deep. There's just I'm excited for what is. It's more of a precursor or whatever of things to come is what I've talked about because I went there. You have to do the whole thing where you have to fill out the emergency card and then do all these things.
Yeah.
And then it's so stupid. I literally live on the back end of the school. That my yard, there's a chain link fence that I can look into. There's a classroom on the other side of my fence at my house, right?
Okay.
And so they say that at one point they needed me to verify my address because in Los Angeles, I don't know if it's the same where you guys are from, but there's, good areas and bad areas, as one could assume. And Burbank is a nice area for schools. And you drive 3 blocks and you're in a different city. And so people who live in a North Hollywood area want to get their kids into a Burbank school. So they'll lie, cheat or whatever to try and get into the school. So you have to verify your address, and I didn't bring the thing. And one of the instructions said to bring an electric bill. I don't know why I can't say this right now.
Electronic electrical
bill. So anyway, I go, oh, I forgot, and then I go, okay, I'll go get that. And then the secretary condescendingly said, well, let's look and make sure there's nothing else that you're missing. Really frustrated with me, and all of a sudden I was in school again and I didn't like it.
Yeah, she did that because you have a penis. She wouldn't have done that to a woman.
Oh,
I'm going on record. Don't you agree, Heb?
Yeah, she was like, oh, geez, here we go with one of those dads.
She's like, great. Another one of those dads who, you know, has no clue.
I like that. That she thinks that this is me, like, you know, like my wife and I got in some kind of fight. You don't change diapers. You don't get up at
exactly.
night.
You got to start for school. And you're like, oh, I got this.
The least you're going to do.
Don't worry. What do I need?
You fucking assholes. You're going to register the kid for school. You don't even look at them. And so I show up.
You're coming in like, well, usually I'm at work 100 hours a week, but today I'm registering the kids for school.
I show up in my baseball
cap. She's like, here we go, another dipshit father. Yeah. What else did you forget, sir?
She didn't know you were a professional dad.
I was, yeah, but it was actually because I'm a stay-at-home dad, so I have the frantic absent-mindedness of 20 things that I have to do in a given day, and that's why.
Yeah. Oh, we just chattered about that for like 20 minutes.
Oh,
yeah, we're so with you.
Oh,
just know that we're with you.
Oh, my gosh. So anyway, so then I go, okay. And then I go, and then there was a thing that I had brought the first time, but I decided I wasn't going to drive my car around the block because I dropped the kids off at school and then swung around to the front of the school. So then I drove my car back, and I'm like, I'm not going to get my car and drive it back around the block. That's lazy. So I walk, you know. And so then I turn around. I get there again, and then the thing that I had brought the first time was back in the car. So I go, ugh. So I have to go back, and she just kind of gives me a look of like, oh, this guy, he's going to be trouble.
So it turns out that she was right. You are a dipshit.
Well, it gets better because –
she says that with love.
My neighbor, we have this neighbor who you as listeners know as Paco Lancini, who does my show quite often. And so I go back. He asked me, he goes, hey, would it be weird if I listed you as an emergency contact for my kid, just in case for whatever reason I can't pick him up at school and you happen to be home? I would like for you to be able to pick him up because you're right across the street and la-di-da-di-da. So I said, yeah, of course. And he goes, feel free to do the same with me. And I was like, oh, yeah, that would be convenient. So I go and I put his name in the emergency contact. So now when we actually start the registration, I have all of the stuff. They take one look and they go, wait, you know Adam Dooley? And I go, yeah, yeah, he's my neighbor. They go, and everything changed. Everything, their whole demeanor. It was like,
wow.
I had the golden ticket of elementary school now. It was so,
really?
Yeah.
Like, maybe I can tell my school I know him.
She was like, oh, well, well, well. And she like sat up straight and started making eye contact. And
why is Paco so famous? What does he do?
Yeah,
how did
tell
he
you,
get in with the school system?
She goes, do you see? And I'm not exaggerating. She goes, do you see that that frame right there? And she points to like a little frame of text, maybe like an 8x10 frame. And she goes, that is a poem that Adam Dooley wrote for us. And he gets it. He gets it. And that's why we love him. And she gets like choked
Are
up.
Are you serious?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm dead serious. And so I go, oh, my gosh. And I go,
wait, what father is writing poetry for an elementary school?
He is whatever mangina thing I get accused of. Paco has that times 10. That's what he brings to the table. He's got 10 times the mangina. He does the full pedicure manicure with his wife. Like, they can bond in many ways about many things. My favorite was we were going to hang out a day, but his anniversary fell before a day before Mother's Day. And so if he's listening, I want you to know, this is honestly not a judgment. I just think it's a representation of him. He was like, I just need a day of quiet in the house. And I've been there, but I just thought that's funny because I've never seen another guy have those kinds of feelings like I do, kind of thing. So that's what he did.
That you guys express them to each other. Now that you're putting each other down as emergency contacts, that's like a new level of bromance.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Seriously, yeah. We are probably 2 months away from playing Just the Tip. That's what my opinion is. That's, you know what I mean? Like,
oh my gosh. Wait, I've got one more question about registration. Were you
hold on.
Among...
You get a couple Zimas in us, and it's on like Donkey Kong. I can only imagine. Don't even get a start on a Mike's Hard Lemonade, and then it is over. That's a home wrecking situation, is what that is.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, right, listen.
Back to you, Kate.
While you and Paco are caressing each other,
yes,
I want you to tell me, were you like an old parent or a young parent or in the middle at registration?
Oh, I was definitely a young parent. In Los Angeles, I am the equivalent to a teenage pregnancy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There is nobody. Like, I am now 35. People are just now having kids in Los Angeles that are like my friends. I have friends that are 5 and 8 years older than me that have kids that are younger than Jack. And when they find out that I've married Natalie at 21, they're like, what kind of hillbilly town are you from? Like, so I am definitely an anomaly. And that might have also added. But here's the thing, too, though. I don't think my looks, because I recently made this observation. Natalie and I had this is all to tell the story about this amazing thing that she did for me. But Natalie and I recently were talking and making fun about, you know how you sit down with another couple and you joke about, well, this is what he does, and it drives me up a wall. And you're like, oh, yeah, well, this is what she does, and it's the same thing, but we're reversed. You know, you have that right, little fun moment that in the moment is like, ah, ha, ha, but then when you walk away, you're like, that's sad that that's what we just talked about for 2 hours.
You get in bed later, called, and they're like, you're an ass.
Yeah.
I can't believe you told
exactly.
me.
You go out as a couple going, we're finally not going to be with the kids, and we're going to fucking screw all night and run. It's going to be awesome. And then you bring up all this, like, animosity and, like, horrible
hostile feelings.
Yeah, exactly. And then you go home and nobody touches anybody. So we were doing this, and I was talking about how Natalie isn't aware of our finances, and how I people get weirded out that I ask her to ask permission to me to spend money on things or whatever. And they always think, like, well, like, she, like, I'm trying to make her some kind of a slave or something. And the point I made was that she never has to – I go, here's what she gets. She will never spend a sleepless night wondering how will we make ends meet? How will that work out? What's going to happen when I retire? She will never have to figure that out. And the consequence of that is that she has to say, hey, do we have enough money that I can go get a handbag today or a pair of pants or a pair of shoes? Or can I go to Baskin Robbins again for the 47th time this week? Or, you know, that kind of stuff. And
she's going to be mad at you for that.
No, she won't. She's, trust me. She gets it. There's a reason why she's my wife. She's definitely on board with my craziness.
Yes. Natalie is super cool. Yes. We can vouch for that.
And much like, you know, I'm sure you guys would react when hearing this, and this other wife I was talking about kind of gave me a look of like they want to look at Natalie like, is he pushing you down the stairs? Like, what? Like, what's going on? And so I said, and I took off my hat and showed my horribly gray hair. Like, it's just leaving more and more. And I've now, I don't really shave unless I'm on the road, really. So it's like now I'm starting to have gray beard hair show up. And
this
so,
is like the movie Mr. Mom.
It is.
You watch soap operas and play poker during the day?
No, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of watching soap operas because that will be the deal closer. That'll be the nail in the coffin. Well,
and Justin, that'll be too much crying for Justin. He'll cry so many times in one day.
I don't know what Hope is going to do.
Why and can't Stefano, just he's get, so mean.
What is wrong with you, Bo? She is right there. She is right there. I don't know if those are even valid references. That's from Days of Our Lives when I was 5 years old with my grandma. Are they still on?
No, my mom watched it. I love it.
Bo and Hope, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, Bo and Hope and Stefano, I believe, is the bad guy.
Stefano. Oh, yeah. Cockroach. There's one guy that reminded me of Cockroach. I can't remember what his real name. But anyway, so I look and I go, now this is why I look like this, because I carry this whole burden. So the other part of that story is that the ladies at my preschool, they thought I was in my 50s, like late 40s, early 50s.
No, they did not.
Yes. And that Natalie, when she would show up, because she's got, you know, she doesn't have to dye her hair or anything. She's got the blonde hair, and now she's got like 3 or 4 gray hairs, which I'm like, yeah, welcome to the jungle. And she shows up, and they think she's my, you know, late 20s, early 30s trophy wife. That's what... We were high school
You're
sweethearts.
You're like, I'm the trophy, you asshole.
That was so funny.
Oh, my God. I wish I would have thought of that. Like, just start crying. I'm the trophy. I'm the gift. I do everything for her. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, hold on. I need to breathe for a minute. Well, it's funny.
While you're breathing, I will interject my small financial story about a stay-at-home dad.
Okay.
If I may.
Yes, of course.
So Lacey has a good friend who is probably your age at preschool, and he only has one child who's Lacey's buddy. And so he and I do things together. And, you know, we'll go to Costco together, you know, stay-at-home parent type stuff, keep the kids entertained and do something for ourselves or our households as well. And so he was talking about wanting to buy this awning. It's like a, I don't know, probably $2,000 to $3,000 awning. And I'm saying to him, are you sure you don't need permission for that? Like, that's a pretty big ticket item. You know, I think you need permission. He's like, I don't need to ask permission for that. All right, I can buy whatever I want. Well, flash forward 15 minutes later, we're in the clothing section of Costco, and there's a $10 dress that I'm buying for Lacey that his daughter wants really bad. And I hear him going, I can't buy that without asking mommy. And I'm like, wait a minute. So you can spend $2,000 to $3,000 without checking with your wife, but not $10 on a dress. And he's like, that's exactly right. It's like, you know, okay.
Wait, is he saying that as that's his cop out for his daughter, or?
No, I think that's the truth. Like, his wife must be like, spend whatever money you want. Don't buy a single piece of clothing for her without my approval.
That's awesome. Because that's very true in my relationship. My issue is that my wife cannot buy a $4 Mocha Blast. But if she, here's the reality of it. The honest to God's truth is that my whole point, and this is why I get so upset when people listen to it and they see me because I have a penis, and they, in my opinion, this might be me projecting, but I think they treat me like I backhand her and I'm wearing a gold pinky ring and a wife beater all the time.
Not if they know you.
Right.
Or is he really beating her?
Exactly. Like, I know it's not very funny to, I said very funny, what a dick. Very funny to hit your wife, I was going to say, but.
It's only moderately funny to hit your wife. Just, okay, I know it's sensitive here.
I mean, open-handed? Which way?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, that's
definitely not very funny.
There's
funny.
There's love in an open, backhand. It's a loving way backhand. That's what grandpa did, you see.
Yeah. Closed fist is not funny at all. Open fist, a little funny.
No, right. That's where we get serious tones. No, but seriously, that they look at me like, I guess, that I'm verbally abusive to her or something like that. And I get why. I mean, my honest opinion why is just like the preschool teachers. They look at me, they look at her, and they go, you really don't have any grounds to set any kind of expectation. You understand that, right? Like, you understand that if she left, her life would improve by like 10,000 times. Let's backtrack, okay? You're 40 pounds overweight. Your doctors told you that your BMI says you are obese. You are no longer overweight. You are obese. You have salt and pepper hair, a job that really doesn't sound like a job, and you take care of the kids all day, and you complain about it.
And she's got to pass her coffee purchase by you, buddy.
Exactly, exactly. You track her and her menstruation, and she's that's okay. That's all right. And here's the reality of it is that that's the reason why I overreact, and that I, for whatever reason, people don't seem to understand is that my wife gets whatever she wants. It's not like when I say you need to ask permission for Baskin Robbins, I never tell her no. It's not like she calls me and says, hey, I want to go get a Mocha Blast. It's that we recently went through the budget. I owe like $30,000 in taxes after we bought this house and took out some investments or whatever. I talked about it on a previous episode, but that. So now I have to be tighter on the budget. And when I started actually looking at the money, there was a month that we spent $900 on eating out. And I was like, holy crap. And then I started looking at what we were doing because I'm like, there's no way I could spend that much money. And I hadn't been tracking her expenses and figuring out what she was doing, you know, with the money. I was just kind of paying the card and we had money coming in. And so she had spent by herself to the tune of about $350, almost $400. Of that was just her by herself, like going out to eat for lunch and going in getting a Mocha Blast after that. And so that's more than $10 a day that she was dropping on food just by herself. And so that's what I nutted up about. So I told her, I said, we have to rein that in. And if she calls, all she has to do is say, she goes, oh, I need shoes for work. I go, great, go get them. That's fine. Or if I say, can you give me 2 weeks until we get another check coming in or something like that? The woman, in the years that we've been together, she has come to me on three separate occasions. One time she's like, I don't feel safe in this car. I went out, I bought her an $8,000 car that next day. Then recently, a year and a half ago, I think, a year and a half ago, she came to me and said, I want a house. I'm tired of managing this apartment. I think we can afford it. Boom. 8 months later, we were in a house. And I know that it's like, well, yeah, but she's the breadwinner. She makes all the money. And I joke about that. But in God's honest truth, I make just as much money as she does. You see, I pull my own weight. I work a tenth of the time. And that's fine by me. So all I'm saying is that, you know, I'm going to do the numbers. I'm going to figure it all out. All I ask is that you ask me first so that I can be aware of what you're doing so we don't have another situation where you just blew $400, because it's not like she's aware and it's not like she's happy about blowing $400. And I'm getting way more serious than I ever wanted to be right now.
Okay. If Dr. Heather
did you notice, Heather, did you notice he like slipped in the I'm better than her man comment? Yeah. Did you hear that?
I slip and I have better.
Make just as much money. Just saying.
That's awesome. I make just as much money as her, and I only work at the tenth of the time. Fuck you, bitch. And anyway. Did you hear that? It was like suddenly his penis started poking at the mic.
Ask we're me for every freaking coffee here. I mean, I'm sorry. Did I get too serious? I'm just trying to. What happened?
Yeah. Oh, you get whatever you. My babe is taken care of because I really don't have to work to make all the same money she does.
Right? Because this shit's easy. I got the kids. I got the job. I got the time. Oh, she wants a new car. Boom. She wants a new house. Boom. What do you want? Just ask.
Anything she wants. Here's... All I have to do is work one more minute, and I'll make twice as much as she makes.
You work 8 hours. I work 8 minutes. Okay,
no, messing with you. Did you love that? I'm so glad you heard that too. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I just got picked, you know, poked by some machoism right
wait,
there.
Did he just hang up on us?
No, no, not yet.
I think he pretty much did. He's like, yeah, I'm done. This is taking a turn.
Like, this is going.
No, here's what I think is happening. I think what's happening to the people listening to this on the treadmill in their car is if it's a dad, they're going, those fucking bitches. Like, don't you dare, Justin. Don't you let him get away with that. You're a man. You stand up for it. We don't have to be the fucking bullshit sitcom commercial losers that they represent in the media. And then all the moms are listening like, yeah, fuck him. Tell him. Finally. This is what I've been screaming at my iPhone in the car for 4 months, this motherfucker. Tell him, girls. Sick his ass. Put him in his fucking place.
No, I'm busting to my psychologist because I've had a lot of counseling, folks.
Evidently, I need to go back.
Justin, you and I had a serious conversation about this when you were here.
Yes.
And I understand.
That's right. It was, but this is, you're talking, I was there in December and it was very serious then. It was very heavy. And I was we had been in the house and I was dealing with the issue of being the homemaker, doing the laundry, cleaning the house. And then also if something fixed, I also had to be the guy. And I just didn't like it because I felt like her only obligation to the relationship was her going in, punching it at her job and then coming home. And that was it. That was all she really had to worry about. And I'll tell you now, Heather, before you get into this, because I think it might help your point, is I had another moment more recently. Now everything is really good. I feel like we're out of that. But towards the end of that, she had a moment where I was like, hey, listen, we got to, you know, get on the same page here. And she kind of snapped back at me and said, you know, I'm tired of you telling me I don't do anything. And so I said, OK, what do you do? She goes, what do you mean?
Oh, boy.
I said, I go, if you want to go through it. I know. See, here it comes. This is, again, here all the guys. Go. The guys are going, yeah. Ask her what she
Bring
does.
It.
And all the women are like, you dumb motherfucker. They're going to get you. Fucking cock it.
Right,
get locked
trap.
And loaded, oh, Kate. Yeah, locked and loaded, there. Kate. Tell
all
us,
all the
ass.
Women see us with our, like, bear claws out, know, ready right? for you to step in.
So I said, what do you do? And she said, well, I come home and I put the kids to bed and I give them a bath. I said, do you always give them a bath? And she said, no. She goes, most of the time you do. I said, awesome. So your second item is something you do partially. And then she said, and I said, again, you started this. I was not saying this as an attack. I was saying it as a point of fact, in my opinion, me expressing my opinion about it. And she goes, she said, and I help out. I do the dishes now and I do the laundry now. And I said, great. I said, solid. I go, anything else? And she's like, nope, that's it. And I said, great. I said, so where does that get us in 15 years? And she was like, what? I go, does that help us retire? Where does that get to us?
She's like, there is no us in my 15 years.
Exactly.
Oh, shit. Sorry. What?
She's like, awesome.
Dude, hit the road. The kids will be grown.
I thought 15 years, buddy. You're out of here. Dude, you're going to be completely gray then. I'm out.
The doctor says you're obese. You got 20 max before you die.
Seriously,
you're going to kill over.
My retirement plan is your life insurance policy, buddy.
Oh, it's so funny. It's true.
I was actually going to say something much nicer, but you can continue to bury yourself in this conversation if you'd like.
That was what I, so
I'm enjoying
what I,
it.
So what I pointed out to her was that I said that while I am sorry if the way I'm saying this comes across to trivialize your role. I go, that is honestly not my intent. My intent is to try to justify to you so that I don't have to constantly do it, like what our situation here is. And here's the thing that I think comes across, and maybe it's because most of the time I tell the story to other people besides her, that it's mostly in jest and I'm making fun of myself. But I don't think I exaggerated in any way, but that my point is always to say, I want you to understand I am working for something that is better for both of us. And when I have to work against you to get this to happen, it is incredibly frustrating. And it makes no sense to me and my male brain. I don't get it. That I'm like, if I was on the other side of this coin, I mean, other than the fact that I am extremely unattractive, okay, if I was her in this situation, I'd be like, I got a pretty sweet. Like, all I have to do is say, can I have this? And at least within a week or two, unless it's a $500,000 purchase and it takes less than a year, he makes it happen. Like, to me, that's a pretty cush gig. Like, that's
okay. Again, I've paid a lot of money for counseling and I'm willing to give this to you for free. Okay?
Hit me. Let's do it.
Okay. So here's the thing. I don't disagree with anything you're saying about the finances, but it's the way that you're saying she has to ask you permission. No, she doesn't, because you always say yes. So maybe when you're explaining it to people, because I don't even know, hold on, I stopped recording. I don't even know if she has an issue with your situation when you tell the story, it sounds offensive because of the way you're stating it as she has to ask me permission. But really all you're doing is, hey, can you let me know what you're going to spend so that I can make sure our accounts can cover it? And if they can't cover it, I'm going to ask you to wait. Right. So you're asking her to let you know. And when you say it as she has to ask me permission, it sounds like you have some sort of reign over her that you don't even want to have.
I think you're absolutely correct. And I think that honestly, subconsciously, the reason I phrase it the way I do.
Oh, yeah, no. He's gone.
Wait, honestly, what?
Am I here? Am I back now?
Yeah, you're back.
You're back.
The reason I phrase it the way I do is because I think subconsciously, maybe it's the comedian in me or not, is that I do think it is incredibly interesting that I feel like it is only when you are the guy talking to a woman that when there gets any kind of a situation where it seems like a puffing up of a chest or something like that, that is not cool, bro. That is not okay. My wife has no problem with me asking permission. But then, like, to go back to your point is that, so why is it then that, what is it that she has to do, you know what I mean, to, like, why is it that I always have to be the one who has to choose the correct words? You understand what I mean?
Because no one wants to be told in a relationship. I mean, even if she was saying to you, you have to ask permission to do blah, blah, blah. Like, no, I don't want to have to ask permission. You're not my parent.
You know what the deal is? Using the words asking permission, you just want to start a fight. Like, if Kenny said to me, you need to ask permission, I'd be like, all right, what are you really mad about? Do you hate your day? Did you have a bad day? Like, that's a fight. Those are fight picking words versus Kenny or I. We both do the finances, but we have kind of agreements of, you know, basically, if you're going to spend over $100, just let's bounce it off the other person, you know? But if either of us use the term ask permission, it would start a fight.
And that's what's interesting to me is that Natalie's not hung up on the asking permission. The only, honestly, that doesn't upset her at all. It's what the hang up is that she's not wired to do that. Like, and I know I've gone over this in my show, how much I hate my mother-in-law, but this is one of the reasons. Is that my mother-in-law is wired to where she literally, and I'm not exaggerating, and if she ever figures out how to work a computer and she hears this, go fuck yourself, lady, if you think I am wrong or crazy in this. Because
a lot of love,
shit's getting real.
Because, because she has literally destroyed her life financially because my father-in-law, God love him, does not have the ability to say, knock it off. Please stop for the sake of both of us. And she has literally driven them into a poorhouse to where they have no way of sustaining themselves and are going to fall back on their children. And it solely comes down to the way that they do is that she does whatever she wants to do, and it is his job to figure out how to make it work. And no matter how unreasonable it is. So,
that's not a good relationship.
No, exactly. That's not a good way to be. I mean, yeah. I don't think Natalie should be out spending whatever she wants to spend, and you should just be like, well, that's what she wanted to do. I don't think that's true.
Right.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I think what you're doing is,
neither of us act like that.
And that's
looking out for your financial future, and maybe she's less financially responsible than you are. That's kind of the feeling I'm getting, that she's not that she doesn't want to be, but she just doesn't, it doesn't weigh on her mind like
it's
it does
on
yours.
It's not easy for her. To go back to this is what I learned in therapy myself is that Natalie is fly by the seat of her pants. She's in the moment. She is about fun.
She's a free bird.
Yes. I am structure. I am future. I am planning and numbers guy. And so what I kind of learned is that if Natalie and I didn't come together, this is what we make, is that we make a balance. And anytime when you have one person has a strength, the other person has a weaknesses, chances are that's what you're going to fight about because that's the difference between the two of you. But it makes sense. If Natalie was by herself, she would be having the time of her life, but broke as shit. And right. if I was by myself, I would be have all the money that I could ever muster and not ever do a single thing but work. That's all I would do. I would never have fun because I would be afraid. I would be afraid of enjoying it because that would mean it was going to disappear. That the minute I stopped keeping my eye on the prize, it would be over and shut down. And so together, she has taught me to loosen up and to have fun and to go on a vacation and not worry about how much things cost. And then I'm trying, I hopefully have taught her in a way to say, you know, hey, there's a time and a place that you have to choose your shots. You can't just go willy-nilly nuts.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, isn't. I think I'm like you, Justin. I'm a freak about saving money. Somehow that I always think that it's going to run out or something's going to happen and that's going to be my downfall, right? Mm-hmm. So if I was with someone who was less like that, it would drive me crazy. And we would have to put a system in place that said, hey, that doesn't work for me or for our finances. So you're going to have to fill in the blank, ask permission, let me know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's unreasonable at all.
No,
I've got to say that's one area that Kenny and I are pretty much on the same page. We both ask each other because we both want the other person to say it's okay because we both of us are super frugal. So that's like one case where I could see if you – it could be real trouble for a marriage if you guys can't agree on a financial plan. So I can see how Natalie's not offended either by you saying that. But you know that you use the word ask permission when you're telling the story to get people all riled up.
Well, not all Come of on. Us can live in fairy tale land, New Jersey, where everything is happy and copacetic.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, wait till you hear the show this week. You'll see my flaws.
Yeah.
But no, and I don't disagree. It's honestly not a conscious thing. What is a conscious thing is that I find that every time I talk about this, be it in private, be it on the show, that people always have the same reaction, is that they always come jumping to her defense, and yet it kind of always comes around to saying, well, nothing that you're really expecting is irrational. It's your choice of words. And I just feel like in the moment of where I get heated and frustrated, because it's not, I think maybe too that they're looking at it in the context of this is the first time I've had this discussion. They're not understanding. I've been with my wife, living with her for 17 years. We have been living together since we were 18 years old. And this has been an ongoing thing because within maybe a few months of us moving in together, we combined finances because she could not manage the money and I could. And that's just, that was what made sense. And it was also something that was important to both of us. And that when the only reason I get so heated and maybe choose to use words like you need to ask me permission before you do something, or I say something that sounds as stupid that riles up all the chicks listening going, kick his ass, Kate and Heather, kick his ass. When I say things like, okay, let's go over what you do. The reason I am so completely insane is because this is, to me, 2 decades. And from my angle, that for 2 decades, this woman who I love dearly and could not be able to exist without her presence in my life, I leave for my job for 5 days and I am miserable now. I am absolutely lonely and sad and miserable the minute I leave
her. And this is when we
her.
Get to record with you.
Yeah, great, great. Thanks, Natalie.
Wait, Natalie, good miserable. Lord, stop spending money and give your guy a hug. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Just forget. Just cuddle at night with him. Give him a little
Seriously,
spoon in and let him go.
Spoon him up. Spoon him God. Up. ASAP.
We're exhausted.
Where are you, Toledo? Find a place at Toledo for the love.
She said we're exhausted. That's so funny. Oh, I love you guys. Oh, my gosh. You guys are the best. I clearly need to have more women on this show like you. I clearly do. It's a great balance and a great
mix. Oh, we do need to wrap it up, though, because Kate has a new – her preschool has instituted a new penalty for every minute you're late. They charge you $1.
Oh,
Do you
crap.
Believe that?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, actually, though, I just texted my stay-at-home dad who I told the story about, so he's going to get Lacey. So I've got a couple more minutes.
Oh, good. Well, here's the thing. I feel like we've exhausted that, unless you guys want to keep going. But I did want to talk to you guys at least about your Mother's Day. I wanted to hear like a postmortem on how it went and all that stuff.
I have a great Mother's Day story that I did not share on our show.
Oh.
Ooh.
So this is fresh material.
Dead podcast exclusive.
Do tell.
My daughter Carly is very good at like helping. She really wants to help me, right? So Mother's Day, they woke up at Dave's, because as everyone your show may not know, but I'm divorced, and So I didn't see them till 2 o'clock that day. I didn't spend that much time with them. I wake up on Monday morning and I come downstairs and all the dishes are done. The dishes from the dishwasher have been put away. What was left in the sink has been put in the sink. And I'm like, whoa, Carly, thanks. She's like, well, it was supposed to be both of us, me and Liv, but we agreed to it last night. And when we woke up this morning, she said no, she was going to sleep in.
I love that your kids are like, what are they, 6 or 7 now?
Six.
And to me, they sound like they're 17. Like, they just, like they're so established in who they are. That's what's so crazy listening to you guys having twins. Because, like, I keep attributing the differences in my kids being with age. But, like, their personalities are so defined. And, like, she's just like, I got it. And then the other one's like, listen, it'll figure itself out. Like,
meanwhile, while Carly's throwing Liv under the bus, yeah. Liv sneaks downstairs and she's sitting on the couch. Neither of us see her. Right? And I'm going, you know, well, that's okay. I really appreciate you doing it. And she just will not stop. She's relentless. Well, Liv was supposed to do it, but she didn't come. And finally, Liv goes from the couch. Hey, I'm right here. I can hear you guys.
Again, it's like three women in their 30s living together. Like, I feel like
become roommates. We're like, I'm throwing a pack of cigarettes here. Let's go have a smoke. Come on. No.
Heather, I hope you hear this every day and think it every day, but you are doing something right with them kids, man. Those kids are awesome. They are absolutely fantastic girls.
Thanks. They enjoy playing with you when you come. So
I enjoy it. I think I enjoy it more than I should, to be honest with you. Like,
well, you have the total stay-at-home dad thing, right? Because you show up and then you're in it. You're like, what are we doing? We're playing ball. Let's do it. Let's go out back. Right on.
And I don't know if you guys experience this, but I don't necessarily. I will play with my kids, but I don't get as invested in playing with them as I do with other people's kids. That's what I observed both times that I've been there. That I'm like, I go, I wonder if this makes me a bad dad because I'm like, yeah, let's play with a ball in the backyard. We got nothing to do. And it's because
you
I'm there.
Have anything else to do with them. You don't have to manage them.
No,
when
I'm a grandpa.
When it gets time to manage it, you send them to me.
Yeah, I get to be a grandpa kind of, or maybe uncles. Right. Well, I look like I'm 50, so I'll be grandpa.
And then one other quick thing. Carly made this whole diagram at school about what's awesome about my mom, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, this is so great. And then I'm like, is she talking about me? She goes, my mom lifts weights to stay in shape. No, I don't. I don't lift one weight. And then it says, she reads to me every night. I mean, I'm ashamed to admit this, but I never read to them. Never. So I'm like, Carly, is this about me? She's like, yeah, that's how I see you. I'm like, oh, great. I'm not going to start reading to you now then if you already think it's happening.
I like it. You're a literate, just fitness fanatic. Like,
yeah.
Well, in her defense, people who may not have seen Heather, you got guns. Like, you've got some guns going. It's not, you know, they're not like guns. Like, you know, you look like a dude, you know, but you look like a chick who would lift weights. Am I digging a hole here? I feel like I am.
No, you're fine.
No, she's in shape. She's very athletic.
Yes.
Right on.
That's the proper word.
How was your Mother's Day, Kate?
My Mother's Day, any father and mother of a larger family will relate to this. My Mother's Day was totally fine and as expected and consisted of all of the homemade cards and lots of sweetness and that kind of thing. But pretty much it consists of Kenny apologizing to me the entire day from the minute we wake up till the minute we go to sleep. Because he wants in his like mind, he wants to have a day when I get to do whatever I want and I'm left alone. But the bottom line is it's Sunday and we have 4 kids. Yeah. So two of them wanted me to take them shopping and then they wanted to spend girl time with me. And then my son needed running sneakers and then Hope had a softball game. And then, you know, Kenny cannot do everything and be everywhere. So he apologizes to me all day long. And I respond every single time with, I don't care. And that is how I spent my Mother's Day.
That's how it went for me too. My wife just wanted like meals that I had to make. So there was like a French toast and sausage. And then there was she wanted me to make baked potatoes and a barbecue chicken. And I didn't have sour cream. And so I had to run to the store last night because I thought it was last minute. And there was all this stuff that I kept having to leave. And I just felt like, I'm like, man, I really sucked it up. Because here's what I think. I think that the whole idea and the joke that mothers, you know, shouldn't and fathers shouldn't have to be around the kids, like that's the day to not be a mother or a father. I think that's kind of misrepresentative of what the day is intended. So I think that there needs to be some kind of a celebration with the family involved, but we need to have a less publicized, you know, like almost like a bank type holiday where everybody understands, but it's on the down low. You see, so Sunday is Mother's Day, right? But the Monday after Mother's Day, if you are a mom, you can call in sick to work and no consequence. You know what I mean? So the kids are all in school and you just get a day to do whatever you want.
I like it.
That's your hidden Mother's Day. Everybody knows, like, when you have your own kid, you get a pamphlet at the hospital that explains, you know, after Father's Day or after Mother's Day. And that's when you actually get to celebrate and do what you want to do so that your loved one doesn't have to apologize. They can just arrange for things to happen for you that day, like a massage. That's a good day for massages. But Does it seem kind of weird for you guys that the idea that on Mother's Day you're supposed to leave the kids? Like, that's what you – not be a mom?
It's funny because my mother truly and honestly does not care about Mother's Day, and honestly, neither do I. I mean, I'm happy that the kids, you know, make me stuff, and that's sweet and fun, but I really don't care. Like, I actually, what would be nice if people were that nice to me, I don't know, maybe every day. That would be fun, you know?
Like, not going to happen.
Just, maybe we should all as a society start being a little bit nicer to our mothers across the boards, and let's drop Mother's Day completely.
My mom is going to have to ask me permission to be nice to her. I think that's what
I mean, I'll always say yes, she's going to have to ask.
She has to ask first if she wants it.
You want me to be nice? Boom, I'm nice.
but I want full credit, so don't just do it on your own, okay?
Oh, gosh, good times.
Well, I don't know how
all
much.
All right, now I have to go because now I will get charged. Now I'm extended. I gave you my last 5 minutes. That's all I got.
Send me a text message, and I will cut a check for however much money I need to pay for your preschool. And thank you so much. That was our show. Please send us an email at show@thedadpodcast.com or, excuse me, you could like us on Facebook at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Follow it on Twitter @dadpodcast. Next Sunday, I'm going to be doing a live call-in show. So make sure you check out the Twitter and the Facebook page, and that will have the phone number that you can call in. We're going to be recording that Sunday afternoon. You can follow me on Twitter @JustinWorsham. These fantastic women, you could follow them on their show on Twitter @NaptimeRadio, naptimeradio.com. Throw them a like at facebook.com/naptimeradio. They have a fantastic community on Facebook. That's a great place to chat with other parents, and it is so much better than anything I have ever been able to do on Facebook for this show. Please subscribe to their show on iTunes. They're available on Stitcher. They're in the top parenting channel on Stitcher. Could not say enough about how fantastic these ladies are. They also do a $2 a month paid subscribership, so if you want, throw them some money because they deserve it. Trust me, with their power naps and all the information that they do, that they provide, and the fun and the what's that? I wanted to say commiserate, but I think empathy is a better word, like the empathetic experience that you're like, oh yes, that's me.
We can go with commiserate. That's
all right. Commiserating empathy.
A good one.
We'll do that.
You did that right.
Commiserating empathy. There you go.
Thank you for having us on your show, Justin. Always a blast. We love you.
The pleasure.
You know
is mine.
We love you, Justin.
I love you guys way more than you could ever love me. And that is as creepy as it sounds. So, on behalf of my fantastic friends at Naptime Radio, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty.